I give a talk now about OpenSync. So my name is Daniel Gog. I'm working for the SUSE Linux Products Game right now. And I'm doing, giving now a talk about OpenSync. First of all, I give a short overview about the content. We start with a short status overview about synchronization and how it's worked today. And I give a short introduction what actually is OpenSync. And then I give more details about the synchronization framework and explain some plugins. And then we talk about different ways of thinking. And then I introduce some new major feature for the upcoming release 0.30. And if there's some time left, we do a quick demonstration and kind of a QA session. So that's that. So what is the synchronization today? Anyone of you syncing regularly today? Two?
Oh,
I see. And how many of you have mobile phones? Okay. More of them. Okay. So the current services, at least for the Linux environment or other environments, the devices are not supported or not at least fully supported. And another thing is, we have at least for Linux far too many different applications for syncing for each device and then for each desktop environment and so on. And there's also now out of the box solution so far, so you have to patch stuff or to do other things like crashing your phone 10 times until it finally syncs, and then even there's data leaks. And there's also now open source solutions by manufacturers so far, or at least there was one by BenQ Mobile. It was actually based on OpenSync, but yeah, it's gone. And they sent us about 200 patches for OpenSync, and this was quite well. So, and what actually is OpenSync? OpenSync is a synchronization framework which actually consists of all the logic stuff about syncing and so on. I will show this later on the slide. And it's plugin based. This means if we want to support a new protocol or a specific device, we just have to write a plugin, and it's supported by OpenSync. And it's platform independent. There are also people who started to code it on Windows or DSP and so on. And it's open source, it's on another GPL. And it was started by Armin Bauer in 2005. And it's a successor of MultiSync, which was only GPL only. And so it was not just a desktop independent solution. So it is actually based on MultiSync, but we got rid of all the GPK stuff. So the synchronization framework. Now I explain what it's actually going to do, or what the task of OpenSync itself is. The common tasks the synchronization framework has to do are comparing changes and conflict handling. For example, if you do time clock synchronization with two clocks, you look on the right hand, oh, it's 5 to 11, and on the left hand, it's 5 to 12, and so you compare both changes. First clock, and then you have to decide which clock is the right clock or which time is the right time, and so you have to decide. So maybe the right one because it's a radio clock. And there are also included object type handling. This is for if you do if you want to only synchronize contacts of your mobile, for example. You say you have to tell the framework, I only want to synchronize my address book, but please don't touch the calendar. And that's really tricky to do, because some synchronization protocols just pull you everything what they have, and without care about what the software is doing with it. And another thing I will introduce later in the talk is manager and the capabilities, which will come on the next release. This gets quite complicated, so if you have questions during the talk, please ask, because I don't wanted you are willing to have a name. So now I will introduce some plugins. OpenSync so far have about 16 plugins. These are the device plugins. It's for the RMC protocol or an Anki-based plugin, and for at least for the most devices which are at the moment on the market. Some of them are very experimental, so if you are going to use them, please do a backup before. Otherwise, maybe everything is gone.
Which one are not very experimental?
None. Oh, maybe. It depends. It's really a question of, because the plugins are mostly depending or based on some libraries. And it depends how good the state of the library is. The Palm plugin is quite stable because the piloting project done a really quite well job. It's the project is about 7 years old, and it's quite easy to synchronize them because they have fixed capabilities. So the address book, for example, supports the same fields, for example, phone number, name, first name, last name, and it's all the time the same. We have problems with different devices which have different capabilities. For example, this phone is able to store non-instant messaging number, for example, a Java account. This one is able, so this can be got lost if you sync both devices. But it's not that stable as we want at the moment, but getting there.
What is the evolution plugin?
That's all only the device plugins. So we have also for the PIM environments like GNOME and evolution plugins, also for the Sunbird calendar. And we have some other quite key plugins like the Google calendar and LDAP, and the file backup is quite essential for testing and debugging or doing backups. So, and there's another very popular plugin, it's a simple null plugin. Yes?
The file backup is such stable. Can we rely on doing a file backup of before we do synchronization?
Actually not, because if the other plugin is broken and send malform data to the file plugin, so you don't have a complete backup. But what you can do is you just do one thing in one direction and check your the directory where the file got stored and check if it's valid, the entries. If no information got lost, so there's only the question if the plugin is also able to pull it back to the device. So maybe this, so it's kind of tricky. So if you really rely on your data, please use the Windows software. Or you just check the mailing list, maybe just ask the people on the mailing list what their experience is about. And
sure, I have a question. There's free service called Mobical, which works over SyncML or HTTP and tends to just work. So in emergency, you could use this service for your backup.
Yeah, but this is only for SyncML devices.
Yes.
Yeah, for all the devices which don't support SyncML via HTTP, but it's expensive. So, yeah, and the SyncML is also not quite stable, but the libSyncML is quite stable. So you can do with libSyncML at least quite good backups, which you can also restore. So there are command line tools based on the libSyncML, which is independent on OpenSync, so you can even try to commit or get single entries without syncing everything. So, maybe I should change the presentation. The SyncML plugin supports at the moment synchronization via OBEX and HTTP, but only OBEX via a client only. This is because we don't have support yet in the OpenSync framework for a slave synchronization engine. So if we have to act as server, Oh no, it's HTTP. So just wait. We don't have support HTTP client. Many people ask, can we also simple mail servers like Mobile Billica? This is not supported yet because we have to act as slave engine. So we have to listen to the engine, and otherwise each engine would top each other, and this is going endless. So because so they ask for changes, we ask for changes. They commit, we commit. They ask for changes, we commit. Blah, blah, blah. And this way it goes along. And so libsynchronal use also wireless binary XML. It supports wireless binary XML and supports 1.0 and 1.1 quite well. 1.2 is still very experimental, and you need also a quite new version of web binary XML or VBXML. It's 0.9.2 you need at least. We will have in OpenSUSE 10.2. There's for other distribution they are still using 0.90. But maybe they will change as well soon. So and the libsynchronal project is quite related to the OpenSync project, at least it's the same developers. So yes. So now I will give a short overview about the group members, the relation, how to fit this in the to the framework. If we only have this framework, and how do we use this framework? We set up off top of this framework and a front end, and this front end uses a framework with groups. One group consists at least of two members, and one member consists of at least a plugin and a configuration. So, if, for example, if you want to synchronize your Palm device with your K address book, for example, you have to add one member with the Palm Sim plugin, and you have one member with the KDE Film plugin. So, and then you have one group you can sync with each other, which each other member. But we don't not only support two members in one group, we support as many members as you want at once. This is quite cool. I don't know if any other synchronization software also from some manufacturers is able to do that. So for example, you can sync all your mobiles at once with Google Calendar, K address book, Evolution, whatever you want. But it's maybe not at the moment working like that. Maybe there are some data loose. Who knows? So, and there's also another kind of another type of plugins. It's format plugins, which we need to convert different kinds of formats. For example, the eCalendar vCalendar is quite similar, but there are some changes. For example, for recurrence rules, if you have a recurring event, or some other very detailed differences. And there are also binary structures for events we have to handle. So we decided to specify a new XML internal format, which is used internally in OpenSync. So we only have to write in the format plugin, which have at least two converters, one converter from the actual format to the XML format, and one converter from the XML format back to the actual format. So we can then sync from each format to another format. And we also have this for every object type. For example, post contact, you can see here palm contact and knuckle contact. The palm contact would be from the libpi socket on the piloting project. It's a C structure. And for the Nagi contact, so also from the Nagi project, C structure, which we just converse in this XML form. Here you can see an example on the left side. It's an eCalendar entry. Yes, there stands vCalendar, but it's eCalendar because here's a 2. So on the right side, you can see the example how will it look in the XML, in the internal XML. This is for the new version of OpenSync, if you are related to the code. This is for the 2.30 branch, which we have now in the subversion trunk. It's sorted, so we can do the conversion. Comparing is getting faster because this took for the 20th branch quite long. So if you sync 1,000 contacts, can take 10 or 15 minutes only comparing and change, and conversion, converting the changes. So this really makes this quick. So now we onto the different ways of thinking. So we have the fast sync, it's actually the normal sync, where we only request the changes. This is actually intended by the normal sync now protocols, that you only request the changes, because if you have to transfer every time all 1,000 entries, this will take quite some time. And then yeah, request, and then the device pulls the changes back. Later, with the framework that done all the conflict handling and the conversion, the plugin pass it through the plugins, and plugin committed the device specific way back to the device. So there's also another synchronization. There's not only fast synchronization. This is needed because otherwise we would have a problem. This is example why we need another type of synchronization. You can see here now three devices. Each device has a contact entry called Daniel. And now, now if you want to sync the mobile phone on different environments, for example, on your PC at your work and at home, then I will show you. If you add two entries on your mobile and then sync it to the right PC, they will not get synced to the left PC because the changes get only reported once if the device is going to ask for the latest changes. You can see this also here. If I create another entry on the mobile and sync it again with the left PC, it got not reported to the right device because it only requested the changes at this point between those two devices, and so on. So there's data loops if we only do this kind of fast sync. So we have also support slow sync. This is the term.
Is this situation similar for every devices, or do some devices store the identifier of the requester, the latest requester?
Yes, I'm coming through that. So, for example, for this latest requester is some protocol support storing when the last sync was. For example, it's an ETC timestamp, and we request this timestamp, and then compared with the anchor database, which stored the last entry of the sync, and compares it. In this case, it isn't equal. So the anchor compare failed, and we trigger a slow sync. So we do every time a slow sync, but if we see if the device got synced in the meantime somewhere else, if there was a factory reset or something like that. So, and then you can store everything on the anchor database, which do some identification if the device got synced in the meantime with some other stuff. But this only happens if the device really only sends the changes. There are some devices which are not able to send only the changes, they send just everything. But for this we have the hash table. I will come maybe later to this, what the hash table is. And the slow sync looks like this. If we detect there's it's got synced in the meantime and the anchor compare fail, we just request all entries. So the name maybe comes from slow, because if you have about 500 contacts, this can take some time, even with if you have up to 2 or USB. So now we come to the new stuff, which we'll see in the 0.30 version of OpenSync. It's support for different capabilities. Like I said before, this device is able to store instant messenger numbers. This doesn't. So, or in this example, this laptop has an entry with name, telephone number, and a URL. And if we sync this to the mobile, which doesn't support the URL, and change the number on the mobile side and sync it back, so your URL got lost because it was not able to store the entry. And when we sync, we transfers a full entry, not only the fields, transfers a full entry. This is the way the protocols work most. I don't know any protocol which only sends fields. So we have to find a solution for this. So we have a new feature. It's a capability support, and we can do discover them. When we send a device-specific or protocol-specific discover signal and then retrieve the capabilities, we do have for this as well in unified XML format internally, where we store the capabilities information. For example, the mobile only stores name and telephone numbers, and the capabilities information will look like this. So keep these capabilities in mind for the next line. So now we come to the merger and demerger, which is intended to merge this kind of unsupported capabilities in the entry. So we have the example from the previous slide. We can see here the entry with the URL, and we have converted to the XML format we saw before, the XML format contact for internal use, and stored it in the archive. The archive is intended to store the full entire entry, the entire entry. So we have a full copy of it, so we can take those unsupported fields and merge them back. So here comes the demerger in place. And the demerger is needed because some devices are also going to crash or do something like that if we send them information which they can't store. So the demerger knows the capabilities as well, as we discovered, and then we'll demerge every unsupported field. So if the URL field is unsupported, it got not sent to the device. So now the opposite part of it, if we change the number on mobile side, like in the example before, from 555 to 666, we have now the merger in place, and it knows the capabilities as well. Takes the entire entry from the archive and merged this information. So you see there's a change number 666 and it merged the URL field. So there's no data loss even if you sync different devices which different capabilities. So with the merger we can also handle those. So now we come to the front end.
Sorry.
Yes.
What if the thing you changed was let's assume the phone actually supported the URL and you then remove the URL so it was empty. Would that get synced? Do you see what I'm thinking?
Yes. So you did two changes at the same time on both?
I'm changing the phone as a URL, but I'm removing that so it's empty. Would that get synced back?
One moment. So we have now on both sides those entries, and then we delete this field. This will only happen if you do changes on both sides. So, for example, if you have this. So we changed it, so it got transferred, and on both sides you have 66, and the merger works. So this entry is still there, and then we drop this field, yes? Then, and then we sync it back to the device. So you have telephone number 66 without URL and so on. And here you can see when the entry got deleted, the URL got deleted. This will not get stored in the archive, so there's nothing to merge.
Will you support versioning for the syncs?
Versioning for capabilities?
For the information capabilities.
Oh, you mean the kind of revision log?
Yeah. What was the URL when I synced a week ago?
Yes, it would be a quite cool feature, but not yet. Maybe later, but This is quite tricky because the archive gets really big after some time. We also store images there. So imagine you have about 300 contacts, and each contact has an image.
Considering and the size of the capabilities of a device, I don't think that will be quite a problem. You can store gigs on
but who knows, maybe you need assuming in a hard disk because you store high resolution picture for each contact, so you
will also need the cost to be leveraged with the
they already have hard disk.
With the revisioning system. Basically they can select the checkpoint and then restore the entire system. Well, basically I just done something wrong, I just seen the device and lost everything. Basically, and then
a backup function. You should. We don't have this functionality yet, but actually, it's an SQLite database. So you just have to do inquiry, and say.
No, the problem is like this: I take the device, make some wrong changes, and sync. The copy from the device goes to the archive. It's a bad copy. I want to somehow make it roll back.
Maybe we can support something like only store the later as a revision for the current revision.
Yeah,
so not every revision.
I can say I did the wrong scene.
Okay. I see. Yeah, maybe.
With wrong data, something like that.
Yeah, but we didn't plan that yet, but this would be a quite nice feature.
Is the archive different from backup files?
Excuse me?
Is the archive different from backup files?
From which files?
Because I think that they are thinking that the archive is the backup, the files that you use
the
backup.
The archive is an SQLite database which is stored in the memory directory.
So it's internal. You don't get access to
it. It's only internal. So it's you can use the archive also without a file sync plugin. So you can use you don't even need the file sync plugin installed to use the archive. It's an internal use. We just create an SQLite database in the .openSync directory where we store all the configuration of the members. And yes, and I can show you later on the demonstration how this how the archive looks like.
What about devices which store, let's say, first name and last name, and others which only have name? Is there a plugin capability to
yes,
build this?
Yes, we can use this as well. When presents. This is only a short list of capabilities. We have an XML scheme, which maybe have about 100 lines for each possible entry. We check the vCard RFCs, the common pins, what they are doing, and so on. I can show you on the demonstration how big such a capability can be, but we differ between name and formatted name. In the RFC of the vCard, you have FN for formatted name and N, which is split by semicolons. So we also handle this.
One question about this internal XML and the capabilities. Is this extensible? I mean, if I have a device, for instance, I'm a programmer on a device, and I add something like an OPEC category, something like, I don't know, the fingerprint of the user, for instance. Is there something, a transparent way to just sync that blob of information without knowing what's inside it?
Oh, you mean a fully different?
Yeah, something like a new device comes to market and it has a field for something like, I don't know, hard this is to implement a new category.
Actually, there are also the archive would come in place. So the demerger would store it in the archive,
yeah,
but it got not transferred. But you can enhance by hand the capabilities of the asset resident, but you also have to enhance the converters for the asset bucket. But in this case, this new information will like X fields, I don't know if you know X fields of vCards, for example, got also merged if you
like
don't.
Something like that.
Yeah, if it's an unsupported field or an service or device specific field, like an X field, it just gets pulled in the archive but not sent to the device, if we don't know anything about that. So
could the archive XML format use schemas, for instance, to get aggregated schemas which allow to have some extended features and so on?
Actually, we thought about to, and we have device-specific capabilities. So we have for each device one capability, or we discover them on the fly, on the first thing. So I don't know if this is the answer. We can ask later on this. No, where we lost? Again, we have front end as well. You need at least a front end to use the framework because that's all in Libre. So we have KitchenSink for KDE, which is quite complicated because there was also a KitchenSink version before, which got dropped, at least in the subversion of KDE for 2 weeks ago, which got replaced by an OpenSync based KitchenSink. This is the same for MultiSync. There was the version before, which got replaced by OpenSync-based multi-sync, and there's MSync tool, which is the command line interface, but it's quite tricky to use because it's long parameter list, and it's not likely to be used for an out-of-the-box solution. It's more useful for debugging and try to reduce a problem. So we will switch to quick demonstration. So there are some time left. So what we are gonna do first. So does the kitchen sink? Oh, you didn't see that. I don't know where it's going. So, we had a new group, like we saw on the slide. For example, what you're gonna think. Maybe it's a palm device. So I pull on palm device with KDE. And here you see the object type handling. This will be in the future. We can detect those on the fly. When we do the discover, we will see which they are going to support it, because there are some devices which doesn't even store memos or notes. So we do a quick one, just some context. Now you have to choose by hand. Maybe we can improve it later for the plugins. So we take the KDE plugin. And it takes a Palm plugin. So the KDE plugin at the moment don't need any configuration. It's just syncs the standard resource. And this is also quite tricky. And this is the Palm configuration. It just changed from USB to Bluetooth. The pilot being supports for 2 weeks now. Hot sync wire to set. It's quite cool. So. Lots of bleeding edge features today. So I turn on the Palm device. You can see no wine. So now I press sync and press yes, sync. So there was one entry, really. Oh, it's still sorting. Go, go, go. We can in the meantime start. Can you address book? No, there are empty entries. Okay. Oh, there are really empty entries. There are two unnamed entries on the calculator. So maybe we should delete them.
You know, and this is why you need the revision history.
Because no,
after half a year of using this, you find out that you have half of your entries duplicating, and then you have 20 empty entries, and you don't know.
Actually,
why.
It should never happen. So.
Yes, but it does.
Okay, so I just deleted the unnamed entries and press here. Yes. Synchronization, and press here as well. Synchronization. So now they got deleted. This was quite quick, maybe I should sync more data, so... There you can see, it's still not... They got not synced again, so it's still gone. And I don't know if anyone can see this. There's now only one entry.
Okay.
So maybe I can create a new entry, any suggestion, so...
Let me start about
What?
Data loss. About.
Data, we take data loss. Maybe a
number is wrong.
So we have data loss. I can give you logs. Too many logs. So this is a more and
I need no more logs for end user. Like I deleted those two.
This should be implemented on the front end side. So you mean some user friendly stuff?
I know about the logs.
Oh, okay, so there are many logs behind this. So now we saw on. If you want, you can create a new entry.
I don't try to do that, but I.
And there's the pen on the side.
Well, okay, that helps. But I don't know graphics anyway, so.
Okay. In the meantime, I adjusted this. I can show the new features of the capabilities. This is msync tools, the command line interface. I was not able to port the sync in time with the APE. It builds, but it doesn't link. So we do merger. New entry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hefe?
Well, I tried like test, but blame the valve.
Oh. Okay.
Is it going to take UTF-8, by the way?
Oh, that's working. Yeah, this is not UTF.
It's not.
It's Windows.
Okay.
But we can handle those. We do in the plugin we do this conversion. I just do this thing, then I have to go. If you want to see the demo on the merger, we can meet at the booth. And so last question.
You just touched. Really good subject, the internationalization, UTF supported languages and stuff like this.
And it's actually, if this works, it depends on the bug. If it does support this or if it doesn't support this. So the framework doesn't care about it. We couldn't use the UTF-8. The plugins have to convert, when they convert to the XML format, or as well to UTF-8.
Do you store the output format? If the information originally is in code page 1521 and the user story is in there.
Yeah, we converted them back to the from UTF from the XML format, which is UTF-8, back to code page 1100 whatever.
Okay.
So I do this last thing and then I have to hand over to Timo. Oh, it's now doing initialization of Bluetooth. No. So, out of six, not too long time. I have to go on because I got time off. So conclusion, backups are recommended. OpenSync is still not perfect, but it's quite cool. So, and we really need more developers. We have 15 plugins. Some of them are unmaintained, or we don't even have devices for it to test or to validate if they even work. And you can find further information about Spark Shape, LibSyncVar project on those websites, or if you have some specific question about OpenSync, put them on the mailing list, or you can also contact me directly. So there's no time for questions, sorry, but you can meet me, on the books. So yes, and there are some developers.